Save big money on your bathroom update at Menards. Transform your bathroom with a stunning new vanity from Magic Woods. With over 100 options to choose from, our vanities combine contemporary style with durable materials. Find the ideal piece to create the bathroom you've always wanted. From stylish and elegant to simple and modern, save big money on Magic Woods vanities at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all our great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
I'm John Batts with Professor Josiah Osgood, and we're watching Cicero go back and forth between his loyalties, his ambition, and his luck. He's now in his 62nd, 63rd year. Mm-hmm. And he's worn out his welcome anywhere in Rome, so he's trying to find a side in the civil war underway after Caesar's death. Mark Antony is the righteous avenger of the death of Caesar. Brutus and his conspirators believe they are the Republic. They're going to save the Republic by defeating Mark Antony, who is a bully and untrustworthy, which, by the way, is not inaccurate. However, Cicero chooses badly. How does he make up his mind on this, Josiah?
Yeah, so Cicero has good political antennae, actually, I like to say, except when he, his own sort of personal reputation is on the line. Maybe this is a common problem among all of us. And then we get blinded a little bit. So he wants to actually stay out of kind of politics after the assassination of Caesar, maybe encourage Brutus a little bit, Cassius. But he's planning to leave Italy for a while. Actually, he even considers going to the Olympic Games as a tourist, right? This is a sign of where Cicero's mind was. But then something changes, and it's a bit mysterious, but he's on the ship. He's actually back in Sicily visiting his old friends. And we're told by him a storm blows him back to Italy. And he hears some encouraging news about Brutus, and he decides, this is my moment. I've got to go back and fight for the Republic that I've defended my whole life. And he goes back to Rome and starts, you know, basically trashing Antony in speeches.
Those are the Philippics, right? The famous
Philippics. That's right. That's right. And they survive these speeches. There's one of them that Cicero never even gave, but he wrote it up as if he gave it. It's sort of a pamphlet. It's incredibly vicious, but also funny. And part of Cicero's strategy, right, is that he actually ends up befriending a young man named Octavius, who, of course, will become the Emperor Augustus. And Cicero thinks he might be able to use this young man to destroy Antony. And it ends up backfiring because Augustus, right, actually is the one who used Cicero just long enough to get established. And then he would turn on Cicero because Cicero had said such nasty things about Julius Caesar.
Who gives the kill order? Is it Antony?
So Augustus is the adopted son of Caesar.
Right.
And as you said, you know, he has to be the avenger. Antony is too. So they both go after Cicero, right? And later on, Augustus wants to pretend, oh, this was just Antony. I really liked Cicero. But I think the politics of the moment was that both of them had to go after Cicero, right? Their rallying cry was avenging Caesar. And Cicero, though he hadn't been in the conspiracy, right, he had not said nice things about Caesar.
The legend says that Cicero knew he was going to be killed. The legend said he was down by the seaside, and that when the soldiers showed up to kill him, he let them do it by extending his neck. Is that all make-believe, Josiah?
Well, you mentioned early in our discussion, right, the name of Tiro, who was Cicero's beloved secretary, had been enslaved. Cicero freed him. He really perpetuated Cicero's memory, published works of Cicero after Cicero died. So probably some of this version of Cicero's death that we get that does make him look heroic, right? Sort of unflinchingly facing this hit squad. That's probably Tiro's version of events. But, you know, I think it's not inconceivable. Cicero at that point would have known he was finished. And there, you know, is sort of an increasing fashion in this period sort of to die heroically when defeated. An enemy of Caesar named Cato had done that. So maybe Cicero realizes this is sort of his final moment and he wants to play it to the full. And it would be in keeping with his sort of sense of theater.
We have a few moments, and I want to reflect on Cicero in the 21st century. When your students first come across those Ciceronian documents, what we have, what Tiro preserved, sometimes rewrote, okay, do they laugh? Do they smile? Is he a challenge? Is he a joy? How is he regarded here in the 21st century?
Yeah, so Cicero wrote beautiful Latin, and he's used to teach Latin. So sometimes students have a painful memory, you know, that the first time they're learning their Latin grammar, they have to suffer through all this Cicero. Once they get beyond that point, or when they're reading Cicero in translation, and it's going along smoothly, I think people are, my students certainly are very entertained by it. I had a student who actually told me she kept a copy of Cicero's speeches on her bedside table, and in low moments she would flip it open and laugh again at some of her favorite put-downs that Cicero delivers. So, I mean, what better testimony could there be than that about his appeal, you know, even to Gen Z or whatever generation we're on right now?
Well, it is 2,000 years later, and the parts that I'm most entertained by, I've only read in English, are when he attacks very prominent women, rich women, for having young lovers. Does that get a laugh from the students to understand that kind of personality smearing work then and works now?
Yeah, well, Cicero is not, you know, what we would call politically correct nowadays, I suppose.
No, so not even in the same planet as that.
Yeah, he's an equal opportunity offender. So, of course, that can shock people sometimes, right? As we said, the courts, you know, were a free-for-all. Yeah. The more mud you could sling, the better. So yeah, sometimes people think Cicero is tasteless. You know, very often he went after people who went after him, though, right? And if we just had more, we would probably, you know, we do have some of the material that Cicero's enemies used against him. That was the way politics was, right? And it's, you know, maybe kind of like some corners of the internet nowadays, for example, where very scurrilous, sensational things spread. It can be potentially damaging, right, to public life, to conduct things this way. But when you're reading it 2,000 years later, and the stakes aren't quite the same, it often is funny.
Lawless Republic, The Rise of Cicero, The Decline of Rome, Josiah Osgood. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.